You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Waffle On Podcast. My name is Simon Meddings.
And I'm at MC Kelly.
And welcome back to the show. We've had a month off, haven't we, Carl?
Yes, which has been good because it was so motherfucking hot. We would have dogged doing this podcast, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
And you know, people in America can go, you don't know hot, but for us, that's hot. Up above 24 in England is bloody hot.
It was, and also I weren't here. I jollied off to Bruges,
yeah, and yeah, down in Bruges holiday.
Nice. I did have it in Bruges.
You weren't quite like that. It was Isla like the dwarf, and then you and you were the Colin Farrell, and yeah,
very good. I tell you what, no, it was we watched in Bruges 2 days before we went, and thankfully I do have quite a good memory.
You saw some of the
beasts,
didn't you?
I saw virtually all of them. We didn't go up it.
Could you go up it?
Yeah, but it was just like 320 odd steps and I couldn't really be bothered.
Yeah.
And I saw the playground where they're at the chat when he goes to kill himself. Found a hotel. Found where Ray Fiennes leans over to shoot him. It's good. Yeah, I do like him, Bruges, must admit.
It's a that's a bit, Sonia would love that film. Didn't Natalie like it?
Yeah, she did actually.
And it's got sweary, isn't it?
It is, but I think there's more to the film, isn't there? More than anything. And of course, the woman in it as well, she was also in Harry Potter.
Yeah, but I think it's the things like that. That swearing is part of it, isn't it? We've had
being stereotyped, and I hate to sound stereotypical, but I've had many a conversation with many an Irishman, and many an F word is used.
It's just part of their language, isn't it? Like Australian, isn't it?
Yeah.
My granddad used to swear. All the time. You know, I told you, my granddad, all right, you little fucker. That's what you say to me.
That's twice now I'm going to have to do beef on it.
Why?
Because we're not iTunes.
Explicit. God's sake. You little fecker then.
No, I won't. I'll leave it in. But apologies to anyone who's a fecker. Actually, I don't care.
So you don't really care.
I don't really care. Or just try to sound professional, which is a laugh. Okay, so what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the music. But we need to talk about that, don't we?
We do.
It's basically the first season of The Twilight Zone, but really, it's about
The Twilight Zone.
So, Twilight Zone and other things like that.
Yeah,
you know
what we like. We kind of like basing it on the first season, CV's season of The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I said that, and it'll come clear in a minute. We've got a couple of emails. The first one's from Brad.
Oh.
Who got in touch with us before, if you remember. There's another Kaleidoscope event going on.
Oh, you're waffling about this.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of retro TV, classic TV, this really is worth going to if you can get there. It's in Stourbridge. It's on Saturday the 6th of September, which is by the time this gets released, just a couple of weeks' time. And it's in celebration of BBC Two. This is what Brad said. He goes, "Hi, Mez, hope you're well. Here are the details of the next Kaleidoscope event in Stourbridge on the Saturday, 6th of September. I'll be there with a few mates, let me know if you can make it. Unfortunately, I can't make it because I'm in Wales that weekend."
Typical,
isn't it? But Brad very kindly give us the link, which I will put in the show notes. Basically, it's www.kaleidoscopearchive.co.uk. So if you just type that in, you'll get to their main website and have a look. The lineup looks really good. It really does look interesting. Again, if you're a fan of BBC Two and if you're a fan of Retro TV, this is really worth going. So thank you so much, Brad. So sorry I can't be there, but I've asked him to keep letting me know when the next events are on because I really do want to go.
I know that is such a your street, isn't it?
Our next email is from Rob K. Hey. Only one email from Rob, Cal. Oh, there might have been two. This is basically what it says. Hello, Mum. Goosey over tonight as we're playing Risk tonight. If you're still going shops, can you get me ingredients for spaghetti bolognese? Spaghetti, meaty, pagu. Thanks, I'm upstairs in my room. No girls allowed. I've been looking at your photo on your website. Kelly Man has lovely eyes. That was from Bob K.
God, that's very strange. As you were saying, you don't know if that was meant to be a real one or what was he's shopping this.
I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah, because I'm going to say, if he's made up character, it's amazing. Oh. Because his wrong use of English is amazing. I couldn't sit down and write
gobbledygook
like that, because you wouldn't know what to write, but he does it really well. It's just like one letter off or something. He's either really, really posh.
Yeah.
And he's doing this, or he has got issues.
Yeah.
Probably
a bit of both.
Yeah, that could be, yeah.
This next one is from Gaz Irwin. Hi guys, really looking forward to the next episode, although I don't know what it's going to be about, as the copy of your show I got from iTunes just randomly ended mid-sentence. That was the void one. I had to re-upload that. I don't know what happened there. It didn't happen to everyone, only happened to some. So enjoyed Rob K's nonsense, although he says his current job involves collecting litter for the council. Sounds an awful lot like community service to me.
Yeah, that's a good point actually. Yeah, we don't want to.
And this final one here from John Simmons. Hey guys, I really enjoyed the show. I know you keep mentioning it, but I can't wait for your Star Wars and The Office podcasts. Keep up the good work. From John.
Yeah, really, we're talking about that. We are, you know, The Office one, we are going to do, just because it's one of our favourite all-time TV programmes.
Yeah, we do that.
And there's some news just all about, isn't there, at the moment?
No,
so The Office film, so
I think that's probably going to be maybe our October one, because you're going to be away for maybe one, at least one episode, right here.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to, well, definitely one, and it might be two. Mm. It definitely won't be more than two, but it'll definitely be one, and we don't know about it.
So, on the next issue of podcast, me and Pete Coleman are doing a podcast.
Pete, you're ugly shit. Only joking, Pete.
So, yeah, we're me and Pete are doing a podcast all about racing films. So, and we're going to incorporate even Days of Thunder, which, of course, I'm going to rip the shit out of.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to talk about, what's it called, Le Mans. Grand Prix, we'll talk about Senna, and we'll talk about...
Wacky racing.
No, live action. I do want to talk about Cannonball.
Yeah, you can't talk about the Cannonball, Ron, yeah? You can't talk about that. That's amazing. That's the first time. I remember cars, really, thinking, look at them two girls in that really Lamborghini. Mum, why do we like them?
So is that the first time you actually looked at the car? Basically, you're looking at the headlamp. And then, so if you're back then, I think we'll do The Office.
Yeah, because there's one way we know we can do that, because we were obsessed with that at the time. And
and then we got to do our commentary on Phantom Menace.
Yeah, we are going to. Might be the Christmas one.
No, I don't want to do that as Christmas. I want to do
Die Hard. That'd be a lot of bad cheer then from us before Christmas.
I want to do Die Hard for Christmas.
Yeah, that's your favourite Christmas movie, isn't it?
That and It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. There's no way we're going to do It's a Wonderful Life with you.
Sure, I love Home Alone. It's my favourite Christmas movie.
Though. I did like Home Alone, actually.
Yeah, I love it. But it's just really violent as well, so it's just ridiculously violent. Yeah.
I will say. Anyway, long way to go yet. So anyway, we're talking about Twilight Zone. And Cal, what do we normally do?
We normally play the theme tune.
Oh no, this is a bit of a problem, isn't it? So we're going to play the original theme tune from season one, done by Bernard Herrmann. And here's that. Thank you. theme tune that people remember it by, is it? That's just kind of like a melancholy, although it fits very well with the show.
Definitely. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because I told you, when I first bought this recently, about 4 months ago, so I can't wait and get turn that music up full blast and get me in the mood for it.
Right.
And it doesn't happen. And you're thinking, because we never saw that over here. We only saw from season two, didn't we? Or the show afterwards with that music put on it, didn't they?
Yeah. Come on, talking.
So that's the worst thing about that, is you're thinking, but it's got that music. No, it's just got incidental.
I had to get you to carry on talking there because I had one of those irritating phone calls that come through from, and this is just a warning to everybody. I might as well say, my contract for my phone's ended.
Oh, it's now ended. Oh, that's
and
it now.
Every day,
they're lovely now, don't they?
Five or six calls. I'm
Christmas service is brilliant at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, lovely. Yeah, yeah. Well, you can fuck off. Go to pay as you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, it is a little bit, when you explain it, but there again, this is what me and you were talking about earlier on. I've only ever seen. Really, probably, I've seen quite a few black and white episodes of The Twilight Zone. But going back and watching the first series, there's only one of the first season I remember, which is the Burgess Meredith one.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the others.
Oh, it'd be interesting. There's got to be someone out there who's a big fan of this. And I know people in the States are going to be mad at this because there were a lot of people bought up on this, weren't they?
It's absolutely.
A big thing. So I'd love to know. I don't know if we ever got them in sequence, because in Britain we very rarely got things in sequence. Mm. So I don't know if it was ever... I don't know if they're sort of mixed episodes together.
Yeah, because
I think that was a lot going on, weren't there? Because I have never saw it on the TV without the music, have you?
No. And the thing is as well, is that, and I don't know about you, but now season two is when the theme tune came in that we generally know, which was by Marius Constant, although not credited at the time. And should we play that one now?
Yeah.
So this is series two. Theme got the tones of it, and you know, but although I know it and I recognise it, it's not. I don't think, and I'm talking about me now. I don't think that's the theme tune we were brought up on. The theme tune I think we were brought up on was the 1985 introduction.
You know, now when you said this at lunchtime, I've been thinking about this afternoon, and it's hard to say because your young mind is jumbled, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when you get to 41, aren't we?
Exactly, and you remember. How you think you remember, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
What you actually remember is... You said,
you
remember the original music?
Yeah,
you start questioning yourself.
All you remember when you said...
Yeah.
Now, I think we remember this 1985 series, right? Because it's quite more... And the reason why that is, you might like this. This was actually composed by Jerry Garcia. And it was performed...
Jerry Garcia. At Grateful Dead?
And it was performed by the Grateful Dead.
No way!
Yes way, sir. And here's that thing, Jim.
Thank you.
1980. Well, that's amazing.
Now, I'm also going to throw in at the very end of it. You know, like we like to add a little treat, don't we? Sometimes, mm-hmm. if we can right. be bothered. I think there was one in the void. I'm not sure. I'm going to play at the end of this episode, purely for the fact it's got a sample of that in DEFCON 1.
Yeah.
Because that's the reason why I like DEFCON 1 by Pop Lee itself, because it had the theme tune in it.
I can say it's one of the most iconic bits of music. That and Jaws and Psycho.
And Hawaii Five-O.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's more memorable than the series Hawaii Five-O. I can tell you one storyline in Hawaii Five-O. Could you? Name one.
No.
Storyline.
But I always remember this.
Exactly, and I think the Twilight Zone's like that. Yeah. That stuck in you. So if I think you went around anyone in Britain or America that know that music, that know where it come from.
Talk about iconic theme music just for a moment. Mm. Very sad news about James Garner dying.
I didn't watch. I watched the Rockford Files.
Mm, I love the Rockford.
Because I remember that because it had the first. What do you call it? Antiphone?
I don't think it was the very first
answer. That's what I remember.
Be the first one you ever saw.
I thought probably had America's really space age. This is where all my love for America come. I thought, bloody hell, what have they got in America?
I just thought
everyone had them. I just, you know, assumed everyone lived like that. It's like assumed everyone lived like different strokes. I thought everyone lived like a massive,
small black guy.
Yeah, in a massive mansion. You know what I mean? It's like everyone had mansions on the TV, didn't they? Fingy Hughes in it, you know, like in Home Alone.
Cosby Show.
Everyone had, my God, everyone lived like that. You think something like
that? That house from Home Alone was using a lot of John Hughes films.
Yeah, they thought that's what everyone loved.
When Steve Martin's character comes back from Planes, Trains and Automobiles, you get there and you think, hold on a minute, you've got two kids. How many bedrooms do you need? Because I tell you what, that window tax must be really high. I think that's all the same house that John Hughes has.
I think it was definitely a thing of the time, and if it was aspirational, weren't it? Where we come from, our houses weren't like that, were they?
No.
Something with some neighbours, it was like that.
I knew as well that I was never going to be like Michael J. Fox in Secret of My Success.
No.
God, I love Helen Slater.
Yeah, that's a really good film, that is.
I bought it on DVD.
It's a really good film.
I've got two versions of Spies Like Us as well. Well, I bought the normal one, right, and I bought Region 1. I bought Region 2. And then I bought Region 1. It was a mistake because I got Region 2 for my birthday. And you know, I'm just thinking, I ain't got Spies Like Us, I might buy that. And I bought it. What the hell? Because it's got 4 minutes extra. But I don't know if it's 4 minutes extra because it's on Region 1 or Region 2.
Mm.
Anyway, pointless. Yeah. Let's get back to the Twilight Zone because we was in our own version of Twilight Zone then.
Yeah.
So, originally it started in 1959. Now, this season, there was five seasons from 1959, which is the ones that we're going to kind of talk about. We're not going to go into great detail because one is, you know, there's too many
of them. And the thing is, everyone's so different.
Yeah.
They're always trying to say a different point or a different model.
Well, there's 156 episodes for five seasons, right? Which is quite a lot.
It is a lot.
So it was created and presented by Rod Serling. Now, I've got to say about Rod Serling, now, he's an interesting fella. Again, a little bit like... what's his name? Gene Roddenberry, I think. Very much ahead of his time. Very much a groundbreaker. Fought quite hard to get the Twilight Zone going. He served in the army. You can go on Wikipedia. I'm not going to read out Wikipedia, but you can go and find quite a lot about him. Walked with him because of a shot in the knees. But he was somebody who was quite annoyed with product, not so much product placement, but control by commercialism. E.g., there's an episode of something where they had to say, do you want a light? That had to be taken out because it was sponsored by a lighter company. So they didn't want anything to do with matches in it. And I can understand why he was quite annoyed with that. Yeah, when you look at your Blu-ray, it is an excellent Blu-ray that you've got. I've got to buy it myself because, the extras on there are absolutely fantastic.
When I tell you, when I bought that, I said to Emma, when that turned up, Mint is going to say, I loved it. If you're the nerd... There ain't nothing better than that bloody Blu-ray, is that?
Absolutely.
Oh my God, you can't get more of that. It's the highest rating. It's as good quality picture as you're going to get.
Oh, it's a fabulous picture.
You're never going to get better monochrome than that, are
you? It's got the pilot on there as well, which was remade again for the 31st episode. And the fact that there's two pilots on there, I'm not too sure if the original premise of Twilight Zone's on there, but there's also a spot where he's talking to future.
Yeah, you're on about this today. And
he's kind of giving a bit of a refer of what future episodes are before they've been done. It's funny how he talks about it, and you go and watch it, that's what he's talking about. But again, this is a man who knew what he wanted, and when you think about Twilight Zone, again, we're 40 years old, so I mean, our Twilight Zone was the 85 Twilight Zone. And And also the movie, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, because I think I was affected by the movie, but I think you was as well. But I think I don't know many people who know who Rod Serling is. This is the thing, I think, because it's so
old. Like I said, it's completely it's not of its time at the moment. And I think that's the thing. I think it was always on. Like I said, we'll talk about this today. We grew up in the 80s in Britain where this kind of science fiction was on everywhere.
Yeah.
Monday night, you'd have Battlestar Galactica. Tuesday, you'd have Star Trek. Then you'd have the Invaders and the Time Tunnel. Then what was some of the little people, whatever, Land of the Giants.
Yeah.
The Outer Limits.
What was the one that got remade into a film with Matt LeBlanc?
I love Lost in Space. Lost in Space.
I really quite like that film.
It's one of them. But that is something I've thought about buying. Every year, I look at it.
The Matt LeBlanc film?
No, the series. But never finished, which is irritating with a lot of them things never finished.
Oh, lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, every year I look at it and come down and goes, am I really going to sit down and watch 140 episodes?
I
used to love it.
I thought a lot about this. If I had, money that was money to burn kind of thing. I love buying films. And I mean, I've got loads of films I just haven't watched yet because I love still in the cellophane, which is slightly not. But it's like, I know we joke about it, but stuff like Last of the Samoan. I'm one of these people who I want to buy the network DVD company. I love them. And there's loads of stuff on it, and probably a good 75% of that stuff I've never heard of, but I've heard of all the actors in it. And you think you should own them. The certain films that you feel you should own, but really you think that's shit.
No.
It's a bit like The Wicker Man. Now, I know we've had this conversation before. I'm not a great fan. Don't get me wrong. I think it's
fantastic. It's not that. That's fair enough.
I appreciate it.
I
don't own it, but I feel I should own it. But the other part of me, the skint part of me, goes, well, why are you going to buy it when you're not going to watch it?
Yeah.
And you think, but I should have it.
It's having a library, isn't it? It's like being a big reader of fiction and not having any Shakespeare. Whether you like it. I'm not a massive fan of the Beatles, right? Yeah. Not a massive fan of the Beatles anyway, but I know how important they are, and I've got Beatles records
that
I don't mind. Mm. But you sort of, there's some things, and I think to me, in sci-fi, to me, Twilight Zone is in there for that.
Mm.
Like I said, we're going to get more into it later on, aren't we? Not every episode is amazing. And they are short. And I'm quite light.
And I have to be honest with you, you've watched all of the first.
I'm
sort of like, I got through about half. That's not because of the fact I weren't enjoying it, it's the fact that literally I was pushing myself to the limit of trying to get to watch.
In 22 minutes.
Yeah.
There's a lot to take in.
I made the mistake of my timing was choosing doing the Twilight Zone this month, possibly was a mistake on my part because I had to research all the MASH. Six MASH episodes and MASH bugger at the same time. So it's probably the stupid thing for me to do. But I tell you what, and if I'm honest with you as well, part of me was sitting there thinking, am I going to enjoy this?
I was the same.
Do you know what I mean? And because we've always said that the moment, and actually Bars from Here Goes Nothing was saying this the other day, the moment Waffle On ever becomes, feels like it's a job. We always have this thing where we say we don't like going out, but when we get out, we love it. And it's a bit like
it's just because we're at work all day. That's why, isn't it? A lot of time.
The moment I think what doing Waffle On is a chore with me recording
is
the moment we'll knock it on the head. I've always said that. We did it with Vicaries. We didn't enjoy doing that.
No.
And it's never been released. Where was I going? Oh, yeah. And I sat there and I thought, am I going to want to enjoy this? And you know what? The first 5 frames. Yeah. The first bit of that man walking down there and he just picks up that twig and you think, what's he doing? And as soon as my head went, what's he doing? I was hooked. I was hooked straight away. A little bit of info before we go into it about Rod Serling, because I forgot to put it on. Tragically, he was 50 years old when he died.
I didn't know that. I was going to say, I was going to ask you, because I don't read too much about it, because the point is, I'm meant to be doing it.
So
I thought, I wonder when he's dead. Was he about 70 or 80?
He was born December the 25th in 1924 people from New York, if I say this wrong, in Syracuse. Syracuse.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was in there. In New York. And he passed away June the 28th, 1975. That rings a bell. That's my wedding anniversary. That's why. Age 50 in Rochester, New York. Resting place Lakeview Cemetery in New York. Yeah, I mean, he would work up to his death. I mean, his notable works were Patton's Requiem for a Heavyweight, The Twilight Zone, obviously, and Night Gallery, which is another...
Yeah, I've looked at that one. That was his other series, weren't he? I don't remember any of that one.
Yeah, such a sad. I'm just trying to look at what he passed away from. Oh, yeah, he died of a heart attack, ultimately. Yeah, what's that thing? Heart attack on an operating table and died 2 years later.
Bloody hell.
But again, you know, that's probably the reason why a lot of people haven't heard of him, because, I mean, anything going there before 1970.
Oh, well, look, I said there's no one showing it anymore, because I looked on the site when I bought it. I looked on the website. I was talking about the syndicate. You did it, you know, who's showing it anywhere?
And it's not on Netflix.
Nope. Oh, really? This is why I love Netflix
that
and all these.
From Irish to Cornish.
Yeah, yeah. But why, when you've got all this canon of great television, do they not show it? You know why? Because all they care about is people under 30, and most people under... this is not everyone, but a lot of people under 30 now do not like old TV.
We
grew up... I loved old telly more than new. You know, we always talking about, oh, see that thing that was on from years ago?
Yeah.
And it was always like that, old horror, old sci-fi, weren't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we got a guy at work who's under 30, and I turned around to him.
Yeah, you're
right.
I was
asking, you know, what films have you seen? Because I'm not really into it. I think he actually asked about the podcast. And he had no idea about, like, Zulu or The Italian Job. And I was thinking, these are only films that are in the mid-60s.
Oh, these are classics.
And
as
I said, do you watch anything like black and white? Oh, no, I can't be watching black and white films. And you think...
To me, black and white can sometimes look better.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in film noir, and especially in some of them Twilight Zones, because it can give it a mystery.
Yeah, also, it's that darkness.
It's a way for, you know, I love monochrome, I do. Mm. I think you can do a lot with black and white. Oh, yeah. I think it can... I
filmed the egg in my little short film in black.
Yeah, I just think it can look beautiful.
No, it was... let's go back to that thing. So, done by 156 episodes, spread over 5 seasons. Ran from the original run, October 2nd, 1959 to June 19th, 1964, distributed by CBS. Actually, good. So, there was a pre-season pilot, right? And he wrote a teleplay, this is one, intended for it to be the pilot, the episode of a new series called The Twilight Zone, although it ended up airing on a different show called Westinghouse Desilu Playhouse. It's still considered a pilot episode and has even been adapted as one of the Twilight Zone radio show episodes. Now, that's another thing that's on your Blu-ray. When you go onto the episode category, it's got commentary on each episode, and it's also got the radio episode.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
I mean, literally, if you was to put on one episode, you could watch the actual pilot, well, the second pilot, the episode with the commentary, and the radio version.
No, you can't get more than that, can you?
So you're looking at really nearly 3 hours of stuff for one episode.
Which is 22 minutes.
That's fabulous, isn't it? But the... Oh, and this episode is called The Time Element, written by Rod Serling, directed by Alan Reisner. And it was released on November 24th, 1958. And this was the premise for it. Again, I don't know if this is on your... Probably might not be, because it was on a different program, but you never know, it might be an Easter. A man visits a psychoanalyst, complaining about a recurring dream in which he imagines waking up in Honolulu just prior to the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, which takes a major psychological toll. So that was what he's in. Again, it's what you said, though. Rod Serling was very much ahead of his time of doing stuff to do with bleakness. Now, what was that you said that he wrote, that he wanted to do, but wasn't allowed?
Oh, God, I can't remember what you're saying now.
Wasn't it something to do with war? Racism in the South, something? That comes up a little bit later on.
Yeah,
that's in the movie.
Well, I think what you're saying now is right, that the thing about them is they are bleak, and I think people forget now, science fiction in the 1950s was actually the most interesting it's ever been.
Yeah.
Man, talk about Star Trek, Star Wars, blah, 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 blah. They're all great. We're loads of shit battles, right? But they were actually sci-fi. Them sci-fis were about to me, because they knew that the world could end at any moment.
Mm.
They saw it happen 15 years before. They saw, you know, a population wiped off the planet.
Mm.
And they thought, wait a minute, we've got this power. This could happen to us.
Mm.
And I think that's that trickle effect in science fiction, with the day the Earth stood still, this island Earth, when worlds collide. I love all them kind of films. And especially this thing. And that's why. But he does it in a right way, doesn't he? It's
It's not completely bleak, because I know he probably wouldn't get away with it then, but it just leaves that lingering...
That lingering afterthought. And it's all to do really with propaganda, and it's also to do with paranoia. At that time in America as well, especially the 50s, there was an awful lot. I mean, how many people were being blacklisted in Hollywood and all that kind of stuff?
It's bad times.
You know, and all that kind of stuff. Each season, well, season 4 and season 5 had the same opening thing. So I'm just going to read you out season 1. And this is what Rod Serling opened it with. Well, although, ironically, he didn't do that one. But still. Season 1. There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is our dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. In the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone. Now, even in that, I love
it. It's brilliant, isn't it? It's brilliant, isn't it? Because, like I said, a lot of that's gobbledygook. Right? Mm. But it sounds so brilliant. And he was thinking about things like that in the 1950s, that there is a space between science and faith and religion and that. Like I said, this is common. This is common now, but in the 1950s, this stuff wasn't happening.
You say it's common now, but that was me and you said it didn't at the time.
Oh, it isn't.
What is on? Okay, no, Doctor Who starts in 2 weeks' time, right? Fantastic, looking forward to it. But I've always thought Doctor Who is more of a fantasy program.
This is more fantasy.
Oh, well, you've got the science elements of it, and that's fair enough.
Yeah.
And Star Trek, but there's no Star Trek on TV.
No. And to me,
what proper, like this, kind of like fiction, kind of like...
Pure science. Well,
would you classify it, as I know, as more thriller?
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because he never liked it. I know, Jim,
what did he call it? It's Jarmus classic. It's classed as science fiction, fantasy, mystery, and suspense. So it's like I mean, there's the science fiction elements in all, like quite a lot of them. We just like spaceships and
there's some of the rocket stuff's really interesting. Because it was, you know, before we landed on the moon as well.
It's not always made. That's why though. When you think about it, I always think Star Trek's really cool because of the fact that it's like, you know, before we've
people forget that. People take it for granted now that they knew how. No, they didn't. Especially in this, in 1959. It was all from his mind, all from these great writers' minds that they knew about rocket travel. And some of them were a bit clunky, but a lot of them are still brilliant and still knew that people are scared.
The first episode, the real proper first episode of Twilight Zone.
I've never seen it before. Like I said, it's a haunting episode, isn't it?
It is a bit, because, I mean, when you see him walking down that street, he gets it. First of all, when he walks in that diner, unnerves me. Diners, for some unknown reason, and I've never been to America, and I love America. And it's one of those things where part of me doesn't want to go.
No.
Right? And you know, I've always said to you that my idea of New York is 1980s Equalizer.
I know
I'm going to be really...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's not like that, I know. And thankfully, it shouldn't be, I suppose. It's like, American diners scare me. And I think it scares me because one Superman, when he got battered in there. Right? But that worried me. But there's something quite haunting about it. And I think it's because I think American diners still... And I quite like it, I guess. The fact that they all still look the same. These kind of like on the side street.
There's one like that in Leamington Spa.
He's really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got to go. And I went to one in Cardiff where Doctor Who was filmed. But if when he walks in, that jazz music's playing really loud and he's shouting, "Hey, customer here, I've got it." But he doesn't know who he is, how he's got there.
And the way he's keeping it together. That's what I find.
Yeah, that's the
good thing. The way he's joking, you're thinking, you don't know, that's it, isn't it? This is his thing. Until the payoff, you never know. And I don't care if anyone who's never saw that episode before, we never work out. You could never work out what the... I thought it was spoiling...
It's 1959.
It's just a long spoiler, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's been experimented on to see if he can...
If he can take traveling to the moon.
And he can't.
No.
But I don't care.
Yeah, but he's been here. Alan's been there on his own for something like 4 weeks.
He goes
from that diner then, keeps on walking out. He finds this town, which is really just... Everything's silent. The mannequin in the car is quite weird. But then, you know, it's a mannequin shop. He goes in the bakery and everything like that. And you know the thing that I kept thinking of? He didn't eat anything in that diner, did he? He didn't eat anything in the bakery. And that's what was playing on my mind. I'm thinking, does he drink anything?
Yeah, what is he? He
makes coffee, but he's not...
Do you think he's dead? I just thought he's dead, did you? I thought he's walked from a car crash when I was first watching
it. I was kind of thinking... What was in my mind was, is this one of these places like in Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull where it's a test... city for an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
That's good, fair.
And he went to the telephone rings, and I was thinking, what's that ringing then? Yeah. And then as I was watching, I was thinking, I've seen this place before.
Yeah, this
is looks very much like the place in Back to the Future. And of course, then I went on Google and tried to do it, and I found it is the same place.
That's amazing. I haven't got that.
Got burned down three times that last.
Yeah,
57 before that was filmed. 89
or 96.
It's a bit like
months
ago.
It burned down.
Season 1's also notable, of course, for the episode Time Enough at Last, which starred the wonderful Burgess Meredith.
It's probably the most famous episode, isn't it?
Yeah, do you want to just say what that episode is about?
It's an interesting because, yet again, when I watched it, it wasn't like how I remember it, but then again, I thought, have I really saw it years ago? Or is it from bits that are in everything?
Yeah.
So it's in The Simpsons, it's been in Family Guy. You remember it?
I think The Simpsons has parodied quite a lot of Twilight Zone.
Yeah, anyway, it starts off... Because the thing is, he's not the nicest bloke in the world.
No,
this is the thing with him.
Yeah.
You think he's a nice guy. You mean, oh, he's a nice guy. Everyone's... No, he's a grumpy old...
Which is the reason why his wife kind of like pisses him off.
Well, he's a grumpy old man who wants to be left alone.
Mm.
All he wants in his life is to be left alone and he loves reading, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Obsessed with reading. So, he goes to the bank, doesn't he?
Yeah, to get his bank vault.
Yeah.
No, he works in the bank, doesn't he?
That's it, And he has got a place where he goes where he can be left alone, which is the bank vault.
Yeah.
He goes in the bank vault and then there's a...
Rumbling
in the jungle. What's going on then? He walks out and it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to,
of course, he wouldn't be able to survive that because as soon as he walks up outside,
sort of got to give up on that. So, what he tries to do, he thinks, at first, he's a bit upset about his wife, but then he ain't upset about his wife, is he?
No, he just thinks about his books.
All he thinks about is his books. Brilliant, I can be left. I've got a lot. No, at first, he's really upset, isn't he? He's crying.
How's he going to survive?
What are we going to survive? But they don't get me any realise what he likes being on his own. And with his books. So he collects all these books, doesn't he? He's got them everywhere, hasn't he? And he's really happy then. He's not going to be left alone. Not to grab food or anything like that. But then the classic Twilight Zone thing happens. His glasses fall off and smash.
Yeah.
So basically, he's going to be tempted for the rest of his life.
There's a kind of thing for that, isn't it? There's almost like... I'm reluctant to say a religious point of view of it, but there's the kind of thing of like you're being tortured for the rest of your life for...
There's a lot of people talk about the episode. There's a lot.